Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Got a great story out of Canada. Donald passed it along to me. And, you know, it's interesting because Canada is very similar to America. I mean, I've gone there before. I can speak their language. They look like us. They act like us for the most part. And so you think that Canada and America are a lot alike. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that I do believe that Canadians are more polite than Americans are. I don't know why that would be, but I think it's true. But the other thing is that their legal system is a little different because, of course, the Canadian legal system is, of course, more British, whereas our common law, having come over from the British, has been Americanized over the years. So I love hearing stories that happen in Canada legally because of the nuances and differences there can be quite entertaining. And Donald passed along a story out of the Globe and Mail, big newspaper over there, called "No, You Can't Be Arrested Just Because You Might Upset Someone." Now, this is an editorial written by Sean Kilpatrick of the Canadian Press, and he's talking about a recent Supreme Court ruling out of Canada. So this is not American law, but it's an interesting point because you can see something like this possibly happening in America. A recent scenario happened in Caledonia, Ontario, and it was almost a decade ago. But it was last week the Supreme Court of Canada confirmed just how wrong and absurd the story is. And he gives the example of, imagine you're planning to attend a protest to express your views on a contentious issue. And that at the rally, there will be people whose opinions are opposed to yours. So you're going to a protest, and we have those here. People on both sides might get heated, as we say. On your way to the event with your colorfully worded picket sign on your shoulder, a police officer approaches you and asks you where you're going, and you tell him, and he arrests you. Can he do that? So in 2009, Randy Fleming was walking to a flag rally, which is one of a series of protests during a long standoff between Caledonia residents and a group of First Nations protesters who were occupying a disputed parcel of land. The standoff had flared into violence on numerous occasions, and on his way to join the rally, carrying a Canadian flag and heading in the direction of the entrance to disputed land, Mr. Fleming was passed by three Ontario Provincial Police vehicles going the other way. The police were there to keep the opposing sides apart and to try to keep the peace. On seeing Mr. Fleming, the police turned around and they forced him off the shoulder of the road. Mr. Fleming crossed a ditch, climbed over a fence onto the disputed land with his Canadian flag. Several officers yelled at him to return, and off in the distance, about 100 meters away, a group of First Nations protesters started to walk or jog towards Mr. Fleming. He remained where he was. As the protesters approached, a police officer told Mr. Fleming he was under arrest. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure some people are going to say, but Steve, they were trying to protect the man. Okay, there's a big, big difference. I'm here to protect you versus you're under arrest. So when he was told he's under arrest, they started hauling him off the disputed land. They then ordered him to drop his flag. Now, remember, he's got a Canadian flag on a pole, and he refused to drop his flag. And I respect that as well. And I see people with American flags flying them proudly. Man with a Canadian flag has got the right to fly that proudly too, especially in Canada. The officers forced him to the ground and in the process of handcuffing him, permanently injured his left arm. Those are facts given from the Canadian Supreme Court. So that's not disputed. We're not talking about whether or not he may have injured his arm. He did suffer permanent injury to his arm during the arrest. And it was partly caused by the fact that he wouldn't drop his flag. Mr. Fleming was held for 2.5 hours and charged only with resisting arrest. We've talked about it before. If they are arresting you for something and all they charge you with is resisting arrest, why were they arresting you? He appeared in court 12 times over 19 months. And the last time he was in court, they dropped the charges. Just dropped the charges. You know, everyone remembers arrest. They don't remember the charges being dropped 19 months later. So he filed a lawsuit against the police and the provincial government, and he won in a lower court, but he lost on appeal. And that's how this thing wound up at the Canadian Supreme Court. His efforts have resulted in a ruling that clearly defines the proper limits of police powers in Canada. But like I said, there's an interesting parallel here. The OPP had no statutory grounds for arresting Mr. Fleming. He hadn't committed an offense. Was not suspected of being about to do so. Police argued that they had a common law precedent which allowed them to apprehend a law-abiding person in order to prevent an anticipated breach of the peace The police were not anticipating that he was about to break the law. They were worried that people who disagreed with him were about to break the law by attacking him. So there's two people, A and B. B is about to break the law, so we arrest A. The Supreme Court, of course, said that was wrong. Even if the arrest of Mr. Fleming had indeed prevented some sort of violence, the facts of the case don't bear out that claim, and it was not justified. In fact, the court said, no police action should ever be justified solely by the fact it meets a desired end. That is a recipe for a police state, not a free and democratic society, the ruling correctly concludes. And that, again, is the editorializing by Sean Kilpatrick, but I agree with him on that one. So, detaining a person is the most extreme infringement on personal liberty allowed in a free society. It becomes even more fraught when a police officer arrests a hypothetical future victim of a breach of the peace who is merely expressing an opinion, and they're not even the one that you're thinking might break the law. We're going to arrest law-abiding citizens because other people might hurt them. And just think about how crazy you could get interpreting that if that was the law, where you could just go out and say, hey, we're just going to arrest a bunch of people we don't like and say, oh, we're protecting them from other people who are going to hurt them or break the law or whatever. So Canadians must be free to express opinions in public in a peaceful manner, a right that can't be preempted by the worry that others might respond with violence. Otherwise, it'd be too easy to shut down protests before they even start. Mr. Fleming's 10-year ordeal has made Canadians' freedom of expression a little more secure. And I salute you. I think that this is the kind of thing that we should look at and keep in mind. And I understand there have been a lot of protests lately. Last few years seems to get more than usual. And there's two sides at every protest, sometimes more than two somehow. And the point is that when people are protesting, especially if they are merely talking verbally, whether you're talking, whether you're singing, whether you're chanting, whether you're screaming, whether you're yelling, whether you're hooting and hollering, whether you're whistling, whether you're square dance calling, whether you're shrieking like an auctioneer, I don't care. I don't care. Sounds, okay? Words don't hurt me, okay? So as long as people are just doing that and standing there and marching around and possibly even waving flags, you know, there's nothing more noble than going to a protest carrying a flag of your country. If I'm carrying an American flag, don't tell me to put it down. Don't tell me to drop it. If I'm carrying a Canadian flag in Canada, don't tell me to put it down. Don't tell me to drop it. Okay? So I salute everyone in the story that I mentioned by name, Sean Kilpatrick, and of course, Randy Fleming, Canadian heroes that we can learn from. There you go. Thanks for the story, Don, and to the Globe and Mail. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.